Oh God, he can't sit still. Oh, he's back. There he is.
Those headphones are horrible. Like, you guys sound like you're underwater. And I couldn't hear myself at all, which is a shame. I sound like an angel.
I'm glad you started.
Why would I rob myself of that blessing, hearing myself?
Welcome to the illustrious, the brand differentiated, the extremely anticipated Bullet Sports Basketball Beat.
If you check your program, you'll see the role of Michael Henry will be played by Anish from his
brand. I am Anish. I am not Michael, even though apparently we sound alike, but we don't, because you, not Michael, you guys are all idiots.
Let's start it off with an insult.
Start the podcast with insulting all of our beautiful listeners. Thank you for doing this. Subscribe and rate us.
Smash that like button.
Smash the, if you're into that.
If you're only, not that there's anything wrong with that, but.
And if you don't like it, hit the dislike button twice.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, boy.
So, Michael's like raising a family and stuff. Oh. So like, whatever.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, exactly. What, who cares? So I brought on the old guys, Boiler Dowd.
What?
And Jay Money. Thank you guys for coming. I hear that you've watched Purdue basketball in the past. So
I heard of it.
Yeah. I can have decent conversations with you guys.
Serviceable.
I've seen the end of several seasons, but they're all so similar, I can't tell them apart.
I've seen the middle of several seasons, and I feel the exact opposite. That
February is always similar, too.
Magic. It's magic in February.
Yeah. So why don't we start with last year, then? You know, I sent out a questionnaire. We got 10 questions going around. Monday, part one posted of the BS Roundtable. And Tuesday, the day that this podcast posts, the day that the first basketball game of the 2018 season happens, the day that there are allegedly some elections happening. It's a big day in the world, is really what I'm trying to say. I sent out a bunch of questions, and one of them was, what would be your enduring memory of last season? And, you know, you guys should click on it and all of that, but still, let's kind of rehash some of that. What do you guys remember about last, like, what's going to be, when you think about last year, what's the first thing that's going to come to mind?
Many things about Isaac Haas. How about that?
Ooh.
On and off the court?
Exactly. A lot of things about Isaac Haas. Elbows, other things.
Just, like, wrist? Just spreading good cheer.
Good cheer. Good cheer. Yes.
Yes. I think about both the win streak, and I think about that being a rarity in the number of seniors, all of whom were pretty beloved by Purdue fans. Mm-hmm. That was a fun thing. It wasn't like there was one guy. It reminded me a little bit of, you know, the Baby Boilers, only there were more of them really that wound up graduating together and having that same senior day together.
Yep.
So that's what I think.
That's pretty different in itself, right? Because in the last decade, there haven't been a lot of great senior days because generally they're kind of fragmented. You know?
Right.
There just aren't a lot of guys. Remember there was nobody on our team was there for Marcus Green senior day, right? Where it's just one guy who was a role player.
That was a fun senior day, though. Remember, they all wore green shirts.
I was there, but I wasn't. I was a student.
Okay. Okay.
It was awesome. We had green shirts. In the
yeah.
That was actually kind of cool.
Yeah. It was a fun day, but you know, I love senior day generally. I think it's great. I'm excited about the football senior day already. I just think it's a fun thing. And, when you have that many impact guys who meant so much to the program, who I think we all agree that's probably Matt Painter's favorite class, even over the Baby Blues, just because they were so important to him and reestablishing what Purdue basketball is about. That was a fun season. The streak is going to be hard to put it, as much as I would like to say, you know, everybody remembers March. we all remember that this team was a Sweet 16 team. They got the second weekend, but that streak was pretty fun. And getting, would they get up to number three in the nation? That's it's a pretty big deal. Nobody outside the Purdue family will remember that, but that's what we'll remember, I think.
And now that we're a little removed from it, not to play the what if game too much, because I think that's obviously dangerous, but I think this is fair to ask. If Haas doesn't get, I'm gonna get my players' names straight. It's November, so this of course is we're thinking about basketball.
Yeah, this is when you work the rest off. It's fine.
Exactly. This will all come out in post prod.
Yeah, play yourself into shape.
It's fine. Yeah. Yes. if he doesn't get hurt against the thugs of Cal State Fullerton, I don't know if they're thugs. I just know
they played like them.
They probably go to the Elite Eight, right? Is that crazy to say?
I think it's crazy to say. I think they weren't going to the Elite Eight. And that's really the funny thing. Just because, remember what I said before the tournament, I didn't like that matchup. Team was good.
Texas Tech.
Yeah, yeah.
With Beard, and who somehow knows how to beat Matt Painter.
Yes, very well, actually. He knows how to do it very well. And so, to me, that was a nice get-out-of-jail-free card for Painter. But they weren't going to beat that team, in my opinion.
I mean, it was the biggest loss of the season, right? I think there weren't any losses that year I think the biggest loss was 9 points to Michigan in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament. During the regular season, I think like it was only like a...
they lost by like 7 to Tennessee or something.
Yeah, 4 to Wisconsin, 3 to Michigan State, and then if we're going early, it's 4 to Western Kentucky, 3 to Tennessee. Those are the biggest losses of the season, before the end of the Big Ten tournament, the end of the tourney, and then they ended up losing to Texas Tech by 13. And it didn't, it was about, 10 for the entire game, and it just felt like such
a... Texas Tech wasn't that good, though. You don't look at them and think, oh, Elite Eight team.
No, it's just a bad matchup because their athleticism in the lane. They were so long and athletic. That was problems for this Purdue team all season.
Yeah, I mean Tennessee, you mentioned the Tennessee thing, is that for the team last year, for the team as constructed last year, which was very traditional. Traditional for 2018, right? Which is, one big bodied center and 4 shooters. And the problem is that, Tennessee is, and we'll see it this year. I think Tennessee will be really good.
Highly ranked this year. Yeah.
They brought back pretty much everyone. Admiral Schofield.
Man, they got some specimens on that team. I mean, I don't know if these guys are great basketball players or will be that great, but man, they look like just beasts. It's like all they do is lift weights. All they do is curls, probably curls and shoulders.
The boiler down plan.
That's right. That's what you do. And then you eat a lot. You got a calorie load. on, 7 man. Meals a day, mostly donuts.
I think I'll remember the win streak kind of more than the Sweet 16, because that didn't, what's funny is that didn't stand out. Like it did really. It wasn't really. It blends in. Yeah, so like the 18 or the 19 game win streak, the 30 wins, that was the big flashpoint for me at least, and that kind of leads into this.
Games were fun during the regular season. Those stick out to me. Like I think back, that was some of the best basketball.
Those are like heavyweight matches, right?
Yeah. And so that's a lot of fun. I mean, that's something that those were big stage games. I was traveling during both of them, I believe. And so one of them I was in Michigan, one of them I was in Denver, and I was watching them in bars. It was just really fun. And most people weren't cheering for Purdue. It's kind of odd. I like that. I just wish they would have won a national championship. That's it.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Final Four, that's it. We're just we're not asking for that much.
Not that much.
And so now we kind of enter one of those weird seasons, right? Because last year it was, the class was kind of the common thread weaved within there. Somehow the last class interacted with the A.J. Hammonds era, like the A.J. Hammonds, Ray Davis era, the Caleb Swanigan era, and then their own senior, the Carson Edwards kind of mini era, right? And so that class was the common thread through this, and now it's kind of an unknown. And Purdue getting benefits of the doubt, like they're ranked 25th, or
very fair ranking.
I kind of disagree. I wouldn't rank Purdue 25th.
You'd have them out of the top 25.
Yeah, I don't know what they're ranking. I think
that's kind of my point. I think I say it's very generous to put them there because there's one known commodity, really, and then you've got a bunch of guys. You're like, I don't know how these guys are going to gel. I mean, Purdue fans don't know how these guys are going to gel.
You know, and this is kind of where we as Purdue fans should take a step back. You know, there's a lot. You know, generally Purdue disrespect is there. But I think this is where the media gives Matt Painter, a significant amount of, benefit of the doubt and some respect is that they see that there's one, a kind of consensus All-American on the team in Carson Edwards, and they see Matt Painter's coaching and they say, sure, top 25. And that's the kind of respect Painter gets, but I don't know. I don't know what they would be ranking on other than kind of a trust. You know what I mean?
Having one of the best players in the country might be.
Yeah, but that floated Oklahoma for a little bit, and I don't know if I don't know if Carson's going to be able to float the first half like Trae Young last year. But it's one player can get shut down really.
The Oklahoma, right? They started strong. Let's see if I remember this correctly. Started strong, floundered around, somehow made the tournament. Flamed out, right? Yep. Am I correct about that?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like that could happen to Purdue.
And the flip side of that coin is the Kemba Walker year, right?
Yes, and that's the one we all dream about and we kind of hope.
But if you remember the Kemba Walker year, all of those UConn years
weren't even that good.
Yeah, they were bad.
But like, when the lights are on.
That's the thing, is that the year was not fun for them. I remember that Kemba actually had to win. You remember that shot? I think Justin remembers that shot in Madison Square Garden. That got them. They needed that win to get to
was
get
that the one of those years they finished like ninth in the Big East.
That was the Kemba year. They needed to win the Big East tournament.
To make the tournament.
Make the tournament. And that, the end is great. But the year must have been miserable for UConn fans, right?
I'll take it.
Speaking of, let me this is just a quick sidebar. And I'm good at quick sidebars
because yeah, sure, sure.
I was watching the highlights of the Pacers win the other night when Vic Oladipo hit a three, and all I could think about was, man, that Tom Crean was a great coach.
Yeah, two top four.
Holy crap. I mean, Oladipo is awesome.
I loved Oladipo at IU. Yes, yes. We all loved Oladipo at IU. I don't think it was kind of, I think you guys hit it that much. And I loved him while he was at IU just because he was a very Purdue player, right?
Yeah.
He was hardworking. Yeah, no name guy that worked his butt off and became one of the best players.
Not to make this the Pacers podcast, but that whole Paul George thing didn't work out too badly.
That was brilliant. It's one of the fantastic.
Well, pretty much as well as it could have worked out. Yeah, but it's again. But even those teams were built around two players. I don't know. I don't remember it. I would actually have to look it up past Cody Zeller and Oladipo, but there were still two superstars on that team. And unless you guys are even higher on Matt Harms than I am, Purdue has one player.
Boudreaux's
going to be a good role player. He's going to be a good role player.
He'd be like a coach on the floor.
He's going to be good fundamental.
Gritty.
Hustle. A lot of hustle.
Gritty. I like that. Oh, his hair is gritty.
like literally gritty.
Like it's got sand in it. Yeah.
Seriously, if you guys are listening out there, I'm sure there's lots of Purdue students tuned in. Just tell him, just cut it down a little bit.
I disagree. You should go full Dana Holgorsen and just let it.
Yeah, it's already there, isn't he?
Just let it go.
It's pulled back. I've seen it many times where he's got the hairline's about halfway up his cranium, and then he's got it pulled into some weird high ponytail. I mean, I admire what he's got because I can't even do that. But I don't have curls. I guess that's what I'm saying. But my hair would look similar if I grew it out.
I think you should.
I think you should. I think, yeah.
My wife would love it. She would.
Speaking of, so there have been comparisons already of Boudreaux to Brian Cardinal. See, I'm getting all the names right tonight. But you know what was really funny? Watching the highlights, just the quick highlights on BTN minus from the game, trademark boiler down, from the game the other night. There's something about Trevion Williams. He's 6'9", 280, wearing number 50.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you
seems familiar.
Yeah, when you see him, like, you know, down the court with his back to you, you're like,
oh my God,
Biggie.
Yeah. When did he get back?
How quickly we hand number 50 back out.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Biggie.
Yeah, that's guy, man.
We don't retire numbers at Purdue. That's actually right. Something I like about Purdue.
Yeah.
I like a lot about Purdue. I mean, well, I just
because Boudreaux was wearing Vince's 12. I mean,
right.
The whole thing's bizarre, right? I mean, yeah. This is very transitional feeling to me because I know the guys that are playing, but I don't know the numbers yet. I know more of their faces than I do their numbers right now.
Tommy Luce, he's back. Yeah. Still wearing 15.
I think Eric Hunter is going to be a star.
I do too. I do too. I love that guy.
I think he's going to be impact from day one. Mm-hmm. I think he's that way, very Etuan light. You know, he's going to be productive. He's going to be in the starting five. I think he's probably going to be in the starting five his entire 4 years.
You mean starting five right out the gate? After Painter F's around with us.
I think that there may be a couple games where he's not, but I think more often than not, there will be, most of the lineups that will be played will have Eric Hunter in them. He's a calming presence. I think he's a really good, you know, you play him alternating minutes with Carson. You know, they can kind of fill some of the same roles as the non-point guard, point guard, you know, like the shooting guard that really is the point guard. Even though Carson has more of that natural one, and he's going to be a point guard at the NBA level next year, I think. And so I think it'll.
So your prediction is Carson is done after this.
There's no way that he should come back. I don't.
Did you see me say something about that on Twitter? And somebody replied.
So, yeah, I saw that.
No. Oh, because he's going to play the rest of his life in the G League. It's like. I didn't respond.
Yeah, that guy was so matter of fact too that it was definitely he. Not only was he going to end up in the G League, but Carson knew all this, and he's like, "I'm definitely coming back the senior year." And I was like, "What? What are you seeing?
National Player of the Year."
Yeah, the point is to get your draft stock as high as possible and then leave as early as possible so that you are as young as possible if you're lucky enough to get that second contract.
I mean, and Carson, I mean, he's a admitted mama's boy. He loves his mom. And I think it's a great opportunity to kind of make good on some of the promises he made. He said, I want to give back to my mom for all she's given to me. And why the heck not? I mean, it's funny. My perspective on all this stuff changed a few years ago. But if you have a chance to go get money, guaranteed money.
Money, man. You don't get you especially in athletics is like you're not going to be
you're not getting younger ever.
I call it the Tim Stratton principle, right? Because Tim Stratton cost himself a lot of money by not going to the NFL after his junior year.
Think he could have?
Oh yeah, definitely. And I
then
think
he blew it out, didn't he?
No, he just really liked college.
You're a little.
Yeah. He. I. In all seriousness, I think he just thought. I can do this again. And no.
It is fun. It is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Is fun. He thought after Breeze leaves, what's going to be the difference?
Yeah. I mean,
how long is that guy going to hang around? So, all right, let's have a little fun here. How many? So you were talking about what we remember from.
Wait, hold on. Is it? Yes. Let me ask you guys. Okay. We've talked about Carson. That's nice. Is it Sasha's or Klein's team?
I think Klein is actually going to play a huge role.
Well, clearly he's not playing around. He ain't playing. That's what he did, right? Wasn't that him who said, "I ain't playing"? I think that was him because I just remember him being really, really good last year.
Yeah, that was the other guy. But
he did the, you don't remember this one?
Yes, I do. And that's why I started doing this.
The glasses thing. He kind of held up the fingers for those who can't see me because this is a podcast. Yeah.
I was going to say, describe.
As long as he gets to play against Division II level schools, I'm sure.
He lit up West Virginia, too. I mean,
he's gonna,
allegedly.
He's going to have the greenest of green lights on the.
Did anybody play defense? Does anyone ever play defense in those West Virginia Purdue scrimmages? The scores are always like 96-90. Wow, look at that.
West Virginia, I think they got Purdue into like 15 turnovers or something like that. West Virginia always plays defense because if they don't, Bob Huggins whips them. So I'm not messing around with either of those West Virginia coaches.
Matt Painter could turn into Huggins, right? If he just started wearing the
dreams he does. Yes, I love Bob Huggins.
I don't mean success wise. I mean just the look,
the aesthetic. Yes.
Yeah.
So you want him to be Huggins minus the DUIs?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. That is my brightest timeline for Painter and whatever football coach is at Purdue.
If it weren't for DUIs, Huggins probably would still be at Cincy, right?
Probably. Yeah.
But is he a West Virginia grad? Is that is that what called him home?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he is. I think that's why he left K-State for like 1 year. So I don't remember a question.
I think Klein is going to be huge. Like he's the only proven shooter on the team. Right,
and he is the shooting guard, isn't he? Because, like you said, Carson's going to be the guard, so he's going to play a point.
Yeah.
Well, it's going to be kind of a three guard thing. It's going to be Hunter, Carson, and Klein.
So you think Hunter and Carson will be out there at the same time? You were talking about
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so. I think so too. Defensively, that's going to be a.
You're going to get no gel.
Yeah,
guards, man.
That's the other thing is that I don't know how many minutes that all three of them are going to see at the exact same time because Nogel has to be on there. I don't want him shooting. So
he shot a three that made a highlight reel because it fell off so well and somebody put back a dunk. But it was like somehow it was no higher than the rim ever. And then it hit the bottom of the rim and fell straight to the ground. I was like, oh boy.
He got so much better last year from November to March, much better.
Yeah.
That I'm very, and I said this in the preview that I don't know if that was the part that posted today or if that's going up when this podcast goes, but I was saying that I'm really excited to see his development because he got so much noticeably better. I'm excited about that because I think he could be just huge this year.
I've got something to watch on this point. Okay. And I heard this another pretty good source that said, some of the voices in Nogel's ear are very influential, and could be detrimental if they get too loud.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of concern about that.
No, I think it'll be all right. I think.
Think about last year. The reason that holds together is because those seniors are such a strong group.
They're
like, hey, this stuff isn't going to go. We're not going to let those outside voices affect us. We're going to stay the course, right? You don't have that type of unity, you know, and that type of leadership. Yeah, so I'm worried about that
kind of vocal leader because it does. It's Carson, for all his bluster on the court, it's
right.
A quiet guy.
Quiet guy, funny guy, you know. Yeah, he's not that type of guy.
Your only seniors, too, are Klein and Eifert. So, I mean, that's
so it's cool. Eifert's team. See, I was trying to figure that out. It's not Sasha's team. It's Eifert's team.
I think Eifert's going to get a lot of minutes too.
Because he's got to. I mean, like he's solid, you know, he's solid.
And the four is going to be a position of need. You know, during the year, I don't think either the freshmen are going to.
But that's Harms four, right? That's what that's the way they're playing it right now. It's Harms at four and Boudreaux at the five.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah.
Kind of a. Yeah.
Thick man inside, yes, deal. And so
the old man game in the middle.
That's right. So it's gonna be an interesting year, and I am kind of nervous, but I hope that the end. I hope Carson is kind of the electric guard that all of us have kind of been waiting for because we've seen enough of these 25 win, to be perfectly honest, we've seen enough 25 to 26, 27 win teams that are reliable through the year and go to the second round of the tournament. If we do If Purdue sneaks into the tourney with 21 wins in an up and down year, and then all of a sudden Carson lights the world on fire, like that's the kind of season that none of us have seen, and that's the kind of season that we're all kind of waiting for.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
That'd be a good one.
It'd be gelling.
Oh, it'd be the
love to see that. I'd love to see them. Yeah, I mean, if they get in the tournament, then it's a pretty good season. I mean, it's hard to. But I think, you know, you're trying to measure people's expectations. I don't think being ranked is unreasonable. And I don't know. I see what you're saying. And I look at the roster and I realize that it's a much younger, but you're also going from the most experienced senior laden roster in the country last year to kind of what college basketball is now, I think.
Yeah, but that's where a team like Purdue gets its advantages is
development, right?
Yeah, when you're an old four-star team among all of these high churn, you know, teams that have transfers affecting them and early departures affecting them, you know, that's when Purdue's the best. Like that's when Purdue's its best. Okay. Now, Purdue has an electric guard to help overcome that, but
let me ask you guys before we get to the questions, just an opinion. Who's the red shirt this year?
Well, they already said they announced today that Duona
That's I think we all kind of leaned that way even before the announcement, right? I mean that's
and I don't think I'm not entirely sure Trevion, you know, won't. We'll see. He might benefit from a year, but
I think he'd definitely benefit from it. But I also think the team needs a body out there.
So that's the only reason is the depth, and he's a little more ready to play right away. Duola could be pretty fun, a pretty fun rotation center.
Yeah, he's like he would fit on that Tennessee team. That dude is jacked.
That's what I want these
man.
I want Painter to start, you know, and I almost called him Smotherman, Aaron Wheeler. You know, he's another athlete.
Dude, he can sky, man. That was a great photo of the scrimmage where he was gonna yam.
Yeah,
looked like his legs were spread. I was like, man, this dude's he's gonna be fun. And you know, I don't know. Everybody talks about his jumper being better, and it's kind of tough to go from what we saw when he was playing, you know, an exhibition early, to believing this guy is going to light the world on fire behind the arc, you know.
Just pick and roll. All you got to do is pick and roll him to death with Carson.
Exactly.
He's going to run in the pros. And so it's going to be weird. It's going to be a weird Painter season.
Yeah.
Because he's a guy that likes structure and he's a guy that likes the motion offense. And this team is going to have to rely a lot on pick and roll and
in transition, right?
Defensive weaknesses in transition. Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be a weird one. Jay Money, we got questions.
We got some Twitter submissions. Matt, who goes under Trip Truman. I got to go to Matt's first because he hashtags it Best Purdue Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Smash that like button. Mm-hmm. He says, according to ESPN BPI, we Purdue are projected to lose 11 games. Not including the potential matchups in Charleston. I think this is a bit harsh. What do you guys think? Also, who's your newcomer of the year? I'm going with Eric Hunter. So he kind of answered it. I would say that's a very good answer.
Yeah. Boudreaux, you know.
Yeah.
It's either Boudreaux or Hunter.
That's always funny. Calling a guy a transfer, a newcomer, you know, that's like.
Well, that's why you use the term newcomer, right? Because that's your way to get around.
It's going to be – Boudreaux will have more of an impact, I think, than Hunter will for the entire season, in my opinion, just because he's going to be steady. He's going to be solid.
Where did Boudreaux
come from? He's one of Painter's contemporaries. Painter's going to like having a guy his age on the court. You know, it's a good thing.
I know I should know this. Where did Boudreaux come from?
Yale.
Because I didn't realize – see, I'm very rusty, Anish. I didn't realize he had 2 years.
No, not yet. The other Ivy. He came from Dartmouth.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But he's got 2 years of eligibility.
They all look the same to me. I mean, Ivy League schools.
Yeah, he's a junior.
That's kind of exciting, too. Yeah,
he's 2 years of this guy. He graduated early from an Ivy.
He's going to be 45 next year.
He's going to be, He doesn't look a day over 50.
So Zachary Welch, Z Welch 95. I assume this is a real question.
It is Dartmouth. Dang, nabbit. Stupid brain.
You got an Ivy League. That was good.
Yeah.
Zachary asks, who scores more this season, Carson or Klein? I assume he means on the court.
You got to specify with your questions, Twitter fans. How are we supposed to know? I think Carson scores more both.
Yeah, Carson. Yeah. Carson,
he's doing just fine.
No, the question is one that we asked. The real question is the one that we asked last year, is that will Purdue have a 30-point per game?
Per game, no. But what I was going to bring up earlier was that 40-point game against Illinois was fun.
It was a beauty. It was a beauty. And he was so fiery.
I looked up that box score, by the way. He played 35 minutes. He was 11 of 19 from the floor, 4 of 8 from 3. He was 14 of 16 from the line. When was the last time a Purdue guy had 16 free throws in a college basketball game?
Dude, he is such a good finisher. For his size, he uses his body so darn well. Shields people. He's awesome.
And so, yeah, I think how many 30-point games are we going to see?
What if I set the over-under at 4.5?
I say over.
I'll take the over.
Over. Five or more 30-point.
I had my five up. You couldn't see it at home, but
5.5 is a six seems like a lot of 30-point games.
But I think he can do five.
I think he can do five. I think you're right.
Hopefully, though, we won't see what we saw in the exhibition where Painter's like, "Yeah, you're gonna sit on the bench for much of the game." Because I mean, that's the thing. If let him get into rhythm. I mean, he's such a streaky guy. When he gets hot,
exhibition, you don't want to. You want to see. You know that you have something in Kurt.
You know what he's going to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So exhibition is the time that you want to see Ryan Klein hit, you know, 9 3-pointers or whatever he hit. Like that's exactly what you want to see. So, I'm not too. I think Painter takes the leash off of Carson this year.
Oh, no doubt. I think he took it off last year.
I think
we asked him to do in great defense of Matt Painter, because I think all of us were a little critical of his handling of Carson at times.
Early, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. But he, you know, he took it off. He let him be him. He let him play his game. It's great. It's great.
So we've got a couple more good ones. Kevin Spry, this is interesting. He says, is Etuan going to pass Big Dog as Purdue's highest earning NBA player of all time? He's got 2 years and $16 million left in this year and next. He would need about 44 more to pass him, which I didn't realize the Big Dog made that much money. He says, more importantly, how amazing is it that it's even considerable? I think that's less – well, but the structure has changed, right? There's more money now, so it's hard to compare, but –
It
was a long time ago. I mean, that's
20 plus years ago.
Take inflation into it, you're not ever going to get close to Big Dog, right? But
except that there were no rookies. He was the last non-rookie deal.
Yeah. Right.
It was the last, it was like, what was it, like 8 years, 60-something? It was something in that range.
I thought there was one after, no, so there was, he was one of the last years because Kevin Garnett was kind of the impetus for the 99 lockout, right? Because Kevin Garnett kind of demanded a 9 or 10 year contract right out of high school. And so that was, you know, that and Big Dog. Now, Big Dog
wanted $100 million. Garnett wanted,
Yeah, exactly. He wanted to one-up that. I don't know how – I think this is Etuan's big NBA contract, and it's big. I think it was –
the one he's in currently? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, do you think – I mean, Anish, you watch more basketball.
It was like 4 years, 30-something.
Do you think he signs another – anything more than a one-year deal?
Yeah. So I think he does get another contract, which is crazy to make it to your fourth NBA contract.
Yeah. And I think if he does, then he will surpass Robinson. I was going to say he's not going to get him.
I don't think he'll pass Robinson. Yeah. I don't think he'll make four. If 44 is the number. Mm-hmm.
According to Kevin, he needs to make 44 more.
So is that after this contract?
Well, he says, we'd have to check the, we'd have to have the BS analytics department check it. But he says 2 years, 16 left. And then he would need about 44 more to pass him, which suggests he needs 60 million more.
Yeah.
So no way.
I don't think, this would be a big deal. I think he probably gets something like a 3 years, 20 mil, I think.
He'd be like 24, 25 million away, which is a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that would be kind of his last deal.
Last big one. Yeah.
Yeah. And, which is, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
He's very steady.
That's exactly what he was at Purdue. And he has been awesome next to what I think is the best like player in the NBA right now. Not the best, you know, like LeBron takes games off. He takes months off. But the
a lot of mileage on him. He has to.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not faulting him for that. Yeah. He's what, 35 years old. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis is pound for pound, like game by game, the best player in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And Etuan and Drew Holiday is an amazing point guard for him. And Etuan right next to them, just an amazing fit.
I don't want to detract from your point because obviously it's well made. However, you think he's a better player in the NBA than Kevin Durant and Antetokounmpo?
I think, dude, man, he's so fun to watch. He may not be there yet. He may be two seasons from being the best player in the league.
Who, Giannis?
Yeah.
He's the MVP this year so far.
Yeah. You think so? I mean, you think he will hold that serve? I don't know, man.
Yeah, because, I think.
Because you think Curry and Durant are going to split it in Golden State. Like, they're not going to win because.
Curry is so good. Curry has been unbelievable this year so far.
Did you see the graphic the other night? Went around Twitter. I can't think. Curry's brother was playing and Steph went to the game. Did you see it where it said, what's his brother's first name?
Seth.
Yeah, it said Seth Curry's brother was the label they put. That was awesome. That's fantastic. Funny producer.
Yeah. Last question for the basketball beat this week comes from Riles, who says, if I were captaining a pickup hoops team, and I had to pick someone from Boiled Sports. Who's my guy?
Come on.
Oh, let's see.
My guys. What are we doing here?
It comes out.
But you probably should have a point guard doing that job because it's not really, you know, it's like selling a shoe. Big men don't sell shoes.
That's true.
Similarly, big men aren't great leaders. It's the point guard. You want to lead things. Even if he's fat and past his prime, still. Point guard,
you know.
I'm like Mark Jackson when the jiggled a little bit too much. Fans still love to see it, though.
He did get kind of fat at the end.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
Raymond Felton is my favorite. I just wanted to get that out there. Raymond Felton was fat for his entire career. And this is, I'm saying, down for a normal person, you are actually in very good shape. But if you play in the NBA, you should not look like you, is what I'm trying to say.
I'll take it.
And so, you know, you could have an NBA career. So maybe the pick is you, Boiler Dab.
Just truth be told, Anish threw my shot so far. Last time we just shot around for a second. I forgot that he had arms, I guess. he embedded a ball into the wall at the 2-5 World headquarters. So
that was good. That was fun. Yeah, no, I'm Chris Bosh, baby. That's what that's you know, so we talked at least 5 minutes about the basketball season, right? So what do we think? Undefeated.
Well, before here, Fairfield game, when you're listening, will be this evening. I would ask all fans out there to check out the Fairfield roster. They have some of the best names that Purdue will play this year. They got a guy named the Sheik. Well, his last name is Sheik. They've got a guy named Mr. Whipple. His last name is Whipple. It's an excellent, just an awesome group of names. And they don't have much height, so Harms could feast a little bit tonight. But
Kavalauskas?
They have a guy named Jesus Cruz.
Yes, exactly. Jesus walks with them. So,
my goodness.
Incredible.
Babu, oh, wonderful!
It's awesome.
Actually, and then there's Thomas Nolan,
which is even it's great because it's set off by all the others. You know,
Thomas Whipple is the only. We got a Taj on the team. This is tremendous, fantastic! Yeah.
Everybody enjoy that.
Yeah. Well done.
Oh man, yeah, that's gonna be fun.
Boy or dad, you gonna be in the house?
I will be in the house. I'm excited about that. I had some tickets fall in my lap. Very, very excited to go just because, I mean, like, it's one thing to to watch highlights and listen. It's quite another, even to be early season, just to be there and see it with your own two eyes, see what, seeing how guys are interacting, seeing, you know, all the details you can't get on TV.
And the one thing that I'll say is that, take November and enjoy it, because for at least 1 month of the year, Purdue will have the most electric guard in college basketball, and they will have the most electric non-Tua Tagovailoa player in football. And that's not nothing, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Little segue to the Handsome Hour, which will air in a day from now. I'm a little bit worried about Moore's injury. He does not look like the same guy right now, and it's like almost like if we could have the bye week now, it'd be fantastic.
Save it.
That's all I'm saying. Hey, Boiler Dad, before we go, yes, you look really comfortable right now.
Oh, you know, well, here's the thing. I'm at ease, you know. I feel comfortable in my own skin, but I feel comfortable in my second skin.
Oh, it looks good. It looks hydrated. Looks
good. First good. On the way here to the studio, compliment on top of compliment on top of compliment. And everybody out there probably knows. They may know right now if they watch the quick cast. Man, I love these Martin Vintage shirts. I just love them.
They're beautiful. How do you get it?
Well, there's many ways. Number one, you could find the owners and just mug them and steal their shirts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the way to do it.
Probably not the best way to go about it. So if you don't want to do that, or you could find any of us from the BS team and you could steal our shirts.
Yes.
But we don't want that either. So if you don't want to do that, get on the interwebs, martinvintage.com. Find your favorite pick, and they've got a new one, guys. It's got it's a little bit of showing whose state this is. It's nice stuff. So they got a brand new design. MartinVintage.com, enter Boiled at checkout. You get 20% off. How about that? That's a hell of a deal. Go do it right now.
It's a good deal. Why wouldn't you do it? And shout out to all you guys for taking part in the fundraiser. We will talk more about that on
fantastic effort. Everybody
are truly amazing. And adding up the numbers, you guys donated $4,000 and we all pulled together, including matches and our donations, to donate $12,000. And we'll talk more about that on Handsome Hour. But as I was adding up the numbers, I was at work and I was tearing up and it was just very inappropriate.
It's great. It's great.
Thank you guys for doing this. We'll talk later this week about football and stuff.
Have a great night.
Bye.